Welcome to episode 97 of the Pickup Podcast. The boy Marcus here. Got a full house today. Ant and Reggie, both
Yup.
on. Welcome back, Reggie. We missed the boy.
Yes, sir.
It's been a minute.
Got the NBA Finals going on right now. Kind of going to get a quick rundown. Games 1, 2, and 3. Game 4 come on tonight. So, Stiggles will be right back.
Chew.
All right, fellas. So currently, right now, NBA Finals back in Boston tonight. Celtics are up 2-1. So we've seen game one, game two was literally opposite ends of the pendulum the way that it swung. And then game three that just played out on Wednesday. What do you guys think about how that game's played out? Because that was a real statement game, I think, for the Celtics. And I feel like going into game four, it's turned into the proverbial must win for the Warriors.
Yeah. You want to go, Reggie?
I think that, like you said, it is they're the backs against the wall situation. Like I said, I kind of missed most of game three, but I was really interested when I did check in to see what was unfolding, because after watching game one and two, I mean, you heard me. I was like, Warriors in five. I figured they got the steal game one, and then it was just curtains after that. You know, they pissed the Warriors off and boom, boom, boom. But now it's starting to look like, obviously, the Celtics have control. They're, you know, putting out these random ideas that their coach, Ime, is purposely blowing or purposely letting the Warriors gas themselves out just to bang them up in the fourth quarter. And I mean, it's looking like a strategy that seems to be working for me. So my question is, how do the Warriors get back to playing those type of death lineups that they used to throw in? Like with KD and Draymond pretty much running the four and five. I feel like they can replicate that with Wiggins, Otto Porter, and Draymond, and really just keep three guards on the floor at all time to pressure the Celtics. I feel like that's the one thing I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, it's I'll say I had the Warriors in seven to start the series. And before last game, I thought Celtics would win that game and the Warriors win the next two. I'm not really sure if I feel that confident anymore. I don't know, something about that game that kind of made it feel like the Celtics were in control. I also think it has something to do with after the game, like Klay and his comments and them bitching about the Boston fans. That kind of felt like very desperate, like defeated type of shit, like almost loser shit. And so, I don't know, it gave me a feeling of maybe I might be wrong, because I definitely expected the Celtics to win that game. But now I kind of feel a little different about it. You know what I'm saying? So
I also expected the Celtics to win game one and then the Warriors win in five. But the Celtics, throughout most of these playoffs, have not really been able to put together back-to-back good games. They've been really up and down, especially from the star combo of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They've been not inconsistent, but they just really haven't been able to put, like, a whole thing together. Aside from that first round, you know, whatever the fuck happened with the Nets, right?
Yeah.
Ever since then, it's just been kind of up and down with them. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people didn't even think the Celtics really earned their way to the finals, especially with the shit that was going on with, you know, Miami being basically hurt, you know, all those people, Jimmy Butler playing hurt and shit like that. So,
which I
think was
is
a little
bullshit.
Bit of sleeping on, I think kind of sleeping on them for
I
that.
I think that's bullshit, because they actually had one of the toughest roles ever to get to the finals. They had to play KD and Kyrie. They had to play Miami, even though they were injured, but so were they. And they had to play Milwaukee, and they went to seven in the last two series. So I think that's some bullshit. I don't even want the Celtics to win, but I think that's nonsense.
I think that it's fair to say both sides, just like how it was, you know, almost fair to listen to both sides where they were saying that the Heat's run to the finals was unconstituted and all the bubble stuff, you know, just didn't matter. Because, I mean, Marcus did make a good point. Jimmy Butler's playing hurt. Tyler Herro was out. You go to Milwaukee. Chris Middleton, I don't think he touched the floor the whole series.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean,
but that happens like every playoff.
Yeah, that does happen every year. But there's always, you know, I feel like this is that one year where, yes, if you look at it just on paper, Jason Tatum is at the forefront of obviously the toughest road and like ever. You know, you really can't put together a more tougher scenario than that. But also at the forefront, I feel like if you dig deeper, there's a lot of different things that kind of led it to working out perfectly, which again, yeah, every year is the same
I
thing.
Agree.
I just don't want to like pin it as a pinnacle, like, oh, now the Celtics were counted out this whole time, but we really just missed it. Like, I really think that they still are the underdogs in this scenario. They just have control at this moment. And like you pointed out with Clay's interview, they do feel, the Warriors do feel dejected. But just like how I think we made this comment earlier, way earlier in the season about the Warriors, where they're not really the team that I really want to count out until it's like really curtains. And that kind of takes me back to game one, where I was extremely surprised. I felt like the Celtics will win game one, like Marcus said, and then the Warriors are going to win, you know, four or five, however, you know, three, four straight. But then the way they lost game one just really kind of set something off in my mind that was a little different, because I think it was at one point where the Warriors were up like nine, and then Al Horford and Derek White went on a like 14 run by themselves. It was just like you could just feel the air being sucked out. And at that point, you're like, okay, well, the Warriors have to get, win game two, which they did. And the Celtics were slated to win game three, but it just doesn't feel right. Even still, it feels like the Celtics have a little bit more control than they should. So I'm really looking for the Warriors to come out tonight and bring out one of those like crazy death lineups, because they have to find a way to put the Celtics back on their heels.
So one of the things, I'm glad you like went through those games, because like game one for me, like I think what I remember is the Warriors were in control score wise, but it never felt like they were actually like in control. Like Celtics were always within, like, I don't know. They always were within.
They were within like 8 points.
Yeah, and then they just went on that run. Now, I think Draymond had a point after that game of, like, I think it was Smart, White, and Horford went, like, 15 for 23 for three or some shit like that. Something like that. I think that's what it was. It was some anomaly, and then the next game, like, Horford had 2 points, which I think is also an anomaly, too. But he was just like, yo, they're not going to do that again. And they had to do all that to barely win, which sounded good, too, and it wasn't a lie. But then the second game, it felt like the Warriors should have won the first and should have lost the second game to me. And then the third game, I was ready to turn it off because I thought the Celtics had it. And then the Warriors came back and was up by, like, one. And then the Celtics came back. So I was like, you know, I thought that the Warriors would win these next two games, but I'm really not sure. At the same time, I won't be surprised if they do come out. But they need offense, actually, man. I actually thought, like, Steph Curry would be more of a liability on defense. And to me, he only is when he gets switched on Horford and Tatum. But he's actually played pretty good defense. It's like Jordan Poole is garbage at defense, and to me, he's been pretty horrible the whole series, regardless of what his numbers actually say. Klay is obviously – he's never – I want to give him another offseason, a real offseason, before I, like, judged him. But I don't think he's ever going to be – I think, like
– he's done. He's
tough. He's cooked. Like, maybe the last game is the best he can do. And I might be wrong. He might come out one of these games or elimination game and show us something. But even so, I think, like, even if he could do that, he can only do that once every so often. He can't do that when they need it. Like, he's just – he's cooked on defense for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And offensive-wise, I don't know, man. Like,
thing about his offense is that he never used to have to use the ball much.
Yep.
Now we're starting to see how much his off-the-ball presence really mattered. He was just out there running around. He can't do that shit anymore. He can't run for 48 minutes a game, just dipping and dodging, going in and out of cuts and to get those open looks. And also, Steph's looking cooked, too. So, I mean, it's not like everyone's just – triple team in or quadruple team in Steph every minute of the game to give him those extra seconds to get those open looks. And like you mentioned, dude, I used to look at Klay as an all-time like presence of the defensive position for the two guards in our like day and age. Cooked.
Toast. Cooked.
Abomination.
And not even by elite guys. Like just like Marcus Smart will go by him.
Absolutely.
Can he stop Marcus Smart?
He cannot. And that's the big problem.
And you would actually think, like, all right, the injuries he had, like, it would really affect the athletic player. But the thing is, like, Klay was never athletic. He could probably jump barely jump over a sheet of paper before. And so now he's getting shot blocked. He's probably not as fast off the screens and stuff like that. Draymond is just like, I don't know. I wanted to ask you, I was thinking about this the other day when I was listening to something. Maybe I remember it wrong. I remember Draymond being like a decent three-point shooter and outside shooter, like when they were like first going to the finals and shit.
Two seasons. I think it was always a situation where he never really shot well, but he hit big shots. And it didn't matter because everyone else around him was shooting well. Okay. But now it's amplified that he's shooting 2 for 7, 3 for 9 or whatever. He used to always do that shit. He would just have one game where he was 4 for 6. In that 2 for 7 game, he hit like 2 big-ass threes in the fourth. And he's like chest bumping motherfuckers Flager won my ass.
So I was fooled then. Okay, got you. Because that dude, I kind of don't see it, man. Like, unless Boston just falls apart or Steph Curry, like, I just think Steph is just shooting his load, man. It's just like, it's just too much, man. He's LeBron now. He's just up against too much, man. You don't have enough help, man.
He just doesn't
have enough help. And the thing is, like, I never understood why everyone was so confident in the Warriors going into this, because I didn't think they really played exceptionally well the whole playoffs. Like, they aren't the dominant Warriors. I didn't see that any of the playoffs. Like, even when these runs, it's still not the same fear of, like, yo, in, like, literally, like, a minute and a half, they could, like, put up 12 points. Because it's going to all come from Steph if they do it. And then it looks like he's getting burnt out. You know what I'm saying? And when they do rest him, the plus minus is crazy when he sits down.
That's exactly what happened at the end of that third quarter, game three. Steph was going crazy. Klay was going crazy. No one else really, just them two. And then Steph, everyone knows, had, what, 4 fouls. So the last 2 or so minutes after they got that lead, like minute and a half, they sat Steph to get a breather before coming to the fourth quarter. And that shit was back up to 10 points. Just like that.
Yeah.
It was just from him not being on the court. They lost, like, all their offense. I think they only scored, like, 2 more points or 4 more points before Steph actually came back into the game. So,
y'all want to get into the foul shit and Draymond and all that shit, like the technicals and all that, and how it was covered? Because I thought it was blown really, like, way out of proportion.
I mean, Draymond is – everyone knows who Draymond is. He's been stacking up technicals throughout – the entire playoffs. It's nothing new.
He's a tech of game player at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one away from getting suspended, I think, if I heard correctly.
I think he's dumb for coming out and actually saying what he said, even if it's true. Like, even if we all know it, like, I don't think that's something you admit while you're still playing, dog. Like, that wasn't smart to me. Like, the whole, like, yeah, I get my first tech because I know, you know, I can ride the edge before they give me that second one. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you even put that out there like that? Like, I don't think that's smart, but I also don't think, like, the way people are coming at him, like, he's playing like shit, so by all means go at him for playing like shit, but the whole, like, oh, he needs to, like, not play that way or with emotion, that's him, dude. Like, that's literally what makes him. That's like Pat Beverly or somebody like that. Like, don't be a pest telling him not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, dude, that's who he is. Also, I don't really like how they be like, yo, he should stop podcasting. Like, the nigga is talking for however long he is after the game. Nigga, he wasn't going to be asleep.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be asleep.
It's really a good thing, too, because in this day and age, you know, you need more positive media outlets. And this is a direct source. This is coming from for lack of a better word, the horse's mouth. Like, directly from the fucking source. Like, this is the type of media outlet we need. Like, a man simply after his game giving his thoughts on the performance and how the game went. Like, he's not Paul Pierce-ing it up with strippers and hoes in the background. He's also not, like, doing anything malice to anybody. So I don't see the problem at all. Yeah, that's very good information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a great podcaster, by the way. I'm really a fan of him. And I just hope that it's guys like him, CJ McCollum, JJ Redick,
yep,
the voices that we need.
Yeah.
Voices like that.
Kevin
Durant's also a really good podcaster.
Is it?
Yeah. Kevin Durant's
great talker. He just doesn't like people.
I still need to watch this show with him and Letterman because I heard it was pretty good. where he was like, yo, I'm high right now. I knew he smoked because of the article from, I think, last year where this writer, he's not even a sports writer, kind of hung out with him and did some other shit and kind of came out that nigga be blowing blunts down like a motherfucker. But that makes sense. I get it. Yo, with the new media shit, I think that's cool, but I still think we need a little bit of old media because I do think there is a kind of a there's a lot of documentaries and shit like that and content coming out about people that they're producing themselves. And while I do think they need a voice, sometimes that shit is like warped like a motherfucker too.
Yeah, you kind of lose some of the bird's eye view nuance. Yeah.
It's like
me, what happened to me, and mm-hmm. this is my what I saw is right, and nothing else.
What sometimes I didn't like that all these guys, these media guys, were saying that like Last Dance was that, because I actually didn't think it was, because that nigga showed like shit that would make you not like him if you know don't like that type of shit. I actually love the type of shit that people don't like about him, but yeah. But he put that stuff in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was still in there. Maybe it's worse shit you could have put in there, but he put the shit about his dad and all that in there and what people were saying about that. But I'm seeing, like, I heard the Magic shit. I ain't watched it. I wasn't even interested in it. It was kind of, you know, and Tom Brady's putting out a lot of shit. So I do like to see the players getting involved, being able to have a different perspective and tell their side of shit. I also like to see still some old media as well, because it's gonna give the other side that they don't cover if they don't cover it too, you know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Draymond definitely has a future in this shit.
Oh hell yeah, he's smart, man.
I just need him to from a purely basketball perspective, you know, first of all, the type of player that you are, like the way that you play, the way that you get on the wrong side of, you know, people. Get under their skin and shit. And then on the flip side, you're going to Boston. You know, you already know how Boston fans are. You know what you did to Boston in game two coming into this game, like the way that he was just going fucking crazy out there. all the bullshit that he was doing in game one and two that he got away with. So you go to first game in Boston and you foul out six fouls with 2 points, four rebounds, three assists in 35 minutes. Yeah, don't be surprised when the Boston crowd is fucking it, like chanting "fuck you, Draymond."
Yeah,
like cry about it, but like, come on now, like you cry about it. Come on now, be realistic. You know where the fuck you at? Like,
yeah,
Boston, Philly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I expect that shit there. You know,
I was definitely expecting that. Yeah, like Ryan Clark said, J. Cole can't have a better stat line than you.
All right. Hey, that's kind of low blow, but yeah.
I fuck with J. Cole, but he should not have a better stat line than you.
They were flaming that, man.
Like, he should. And, yo, can we get Jaylen Brown, any of the N1 guys, the professor, anybody, can we get this nigga a ball handling specialist this offseason? Because this nigga could be fucking Michael Jordan if this nigga could just hold on to the goddamn ball. Like, I done seen this nigga. Dribble. I never noticed how bad of a ball handler he was until these playoffs. He's horrible.
No moves.
Horrible. Like, he's good though. That's the thing.
Zero moves though.
He's a straight slasher, dog. Like, that's all he needs to do. Like, if he can get two moves together that can get by a defender consistently, he gets to the rim. He touches paint. He gets fouled. He's a good free throw shooter. You know what I'm saying? He hits open shots. You know, he's not the shot creator that Jason Tatum is, and that's kind of what I think separates them. But man, it's like once he gets to his spots, he is elite. Like I think right now, if you were just going off the first three games, Jaylen Brown is MVP. He's also playing better defense.
Yeah.
He's made a shit ton of defensive plays.
Jaylen Brown
in critical moments.
I don't think he's going to get it. I think they'll try to get it to Tatum no matter what. So I got a hot take.
First two games.
I got a hot take. I don't think neither one of y'all gonna like, and a lot of people probably not gonna like, but I do that. I got a hot take on Tatum. I hate the Kobe shit, man. I think that should be a little – he be going over OD with that shit. Like,
I think he's trolling. He's got to be trolling at this point.
Like, dude, it's not even specific to Jason Tatum, right? It's specific to a lot of people, and not just in sports, in life. Dog – I do understand having a connection with somebody, especially looking up to someone you probably didn't think you would ever meet or whatever. And then actually, you know, him liking you and taking a liking to you and stuff. And I even understand spiritual stuff, right? Like even the texting them, whatever, whatever, right? But then to display it is the corny shit. And I noticed in the last series, him wearing that fucking elbow band or whatever the fuck it was. And I was like, dude, I know if they win, he gonna say, yo, I had the Kobe shit on. And it's just like, it just comes across as corny and like attention driven more than like genuine to me. And I hate it. And if it was someone else, I would say the same thing. It's just, I hate that shit. But that's just me, you know.
Me personally, I think that's the exact thing he's trying to do. I personally think it's a joke. Not necessarily the true meaning of it, but I think that's why he's displaying it, is to get a bit of a troll out of there. I mean, we got to remember, Jason Tatum is what, like 22? 23?
Yep, 22.
He is full in the day and age of social media. He knows very well exactly what he's doing. He is 100% aware of all the comments that people are making. This motherfucker is not doing this shit for, hey guys, look at my genuine feelings about, this is a genuine troll situation in my opinion. I think he's completely fucking around, doing it for fun. And like, he's also like, you know, I can do this, you're gonna get mad about it, but like, whatever, I'm gonna do it anyway.
And they're marketing that shit too, because I went on one day on Instagram, and this is where I was like, god damn, man, this nigga won't stop. Is when they was like, this is the same outfit Kobe was wearing on his workout to Boston. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, dog.
Do you see, like,
what Ant was going to say. Ant would be like, stop dick riding, boy.
God damn. I was just like, it's just like, it feels like a mockery. That's what that's what bothers me about it more so than like, yo, you love this dude. Because I was a little kid. I was a fan of plenty of people. You know what I'm saying? I ain't get to meet those people, so I don't know how I would be. But I know I wouldn't be doing this shit. This shit is corny, dog. And I wouldn't want anyone to do this for me when I was going either. If it wasn't, yeah, don't be displaying that shit publicly, dog. Like, for real, man. If I was Vanessa, I'd be like, yo, cut that shit out, dog.
So, like, I think what it is that, like, I don't think he's doing it intentionally for the attention. Maybe not 100%, but I think he is legitimately a Kobe stan that has the platform. Like, he has the platform to do all this. So he's a Kobe stan. He's going to be a Kobe stan wherever he's going to be at. You remember they did like the future and past photo series or wherever, where everybody had like they did LaMelo Ball with the Magic and Dine, like, you know, shit like that. And they did Jason Tatum with the Kobe. Like, he said it then. He was like, oh, I've always just wanted to like be this nigga. Like, I think he legitimately like holds him like that much of a stand level. He's like, I want to be him, so I'm gonna be. It's like what the same thing that Kobe did with Jordan, and he's trying to take it like a step further.
Yeah, like, I didn't even like it when Kobe used to do it. I thought it was corny when he showed up for the parade with the Bulls throwback. I was like, dog, you dick eating way too much, dog. Like, nigga, this is your championship, nigga, not his. Like, that's just how I feel, dog. And I was like, as soon as I seen that text shit, I was like, Vanessa need to go ahead and be like, nigga, he dead. Text him back, nigga. Nigga, he dead. Why is his phone still on? You know what I thought?
Text him back.
Yo, I was like, why is his phone still on? That's what I was thinking, man. I was like, why is his phone still on right now? I see what Rick got.
Oh my god.
Sure thought y'all was gonna fry me for that take, but I was just like, I am enough, nigga. Shit.
Nah, I fuck with it. Did you see his banner? It's like Kobe laying on the ball, and it's got Jason Tatum laying on the ball.
Oh, right, I did not know that.
It's nuts.
And you might be right.
I think it's genuine love.
Marcus, you're probably right.
It's just going too far. It's gone a little too far.
Nigga. Oh, I see it. I'm looking at it right now. And his AV is him.
Yeah, bro.
If I had met AI and I was a basketball player, nigga, I might be. But goddamn, man. Shit.
Come on. You got that nigga dick in your mouth right now. I see it.
Shit.
Hey, shout out to Jason Tatum, though. He is one of my favorite players, though. And I you know, everyone knows, you know, Kobe was my dude too. So I can see where it's going. But, you know, it's kind of like, you remember last year, you know, one of the other dudes that's getting the similar Kobe-esque comparisons was Devin Booker.
Yo, he's more Kobe than Devin Booker, I'll say that.
But Devin Booker would straight up, he like flat out, I'm not Kobe. I'll never be Kobe. There's no other Kobe but Kobe. They try to give a little, you know, especially when they went up 2-0. He was like, you know, they're trying to get him, you know, the whole job's not finished. This thing is what he said. And then it's like, oh, did you get that? You know, like Kobe, he was like, I'm not Kobe. Jason Tatum, I feel like that was him. He fully leaned into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just got the spirit of Kobe just filled me to say that we're jobs not, you know.
This nigga, Reggie. Oh, man. Yo, shout out to his moms, though. But, yeah, still. But, yeah.
Shout out to Jason Tatum, though, because I mean, I do want to see him win, you know, because I'm tired of the narrative of Duke players in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? And Jason Tatum is a legit Duke player. They be trying to hold Kyrie. They be trying to hold Kyrie against us because he only played like 11 games. He broke his foot.
Trust me, Kyrie, he's a Duke guy for sure.
That's what I'm saying. He's a Duke guy.
He's a Duke guy for sure. I don't care.
There's some dudes that move on, you know, to the league and they kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, he went to Duke, but he ain't really a Duke guy. No, Kyrie a Duke guy. Tatum a Duke guy. Like Brandon Ingram, he's one that's kind of like, you know. Zion is a Duke guy. You know what I'm saying? I need niggas like that to succeed.
Yeah.
And he was doing, speaking of Tatum, he's doing the same thing, like wearing Coach K shit and stuff. Yeah. And they got smacked. I was like, man, don't disrespect. That's like, they just like over here, like opening the door for Coach K to get slandered. It's like, that nigga is at home on a Wednesday evening. Y'all getting smacked and you wore his shirt pregame. I think that was before game two, and they got smacked. And it was like, damn, it was like he brought that Coach K vibe, and they got smacked.
What I will say, because I don't want to just shit on Jason Tatum, is he's taking that leap that I felt like people were trying to put on him a few years too early. This year, for sure, I see it. And I see the hype, too. They said he grew like 2 or 3 inches and shit. It's kind of noticeable now. Yeah, he stepped up. He's probably a top 10 player. Yeah,
he's
probably.
Top 10 right now.
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't even say it's a stretch to say top 5.
You know what? I'd have to sit down because I was listening to a pod the other day when someone was like, "Yo, he's top 10 now," and I started just like naming people in my head while I was working out, and I was like, I didn't get all the way through, but I was like, "Yeah, he probably is." I got to like 5, and I was like, "He's probably somewhere after these guys." Like, you know what I'm saying? And so pretty much, I don't think it's debatable. Like after
my head, you walk into next season, like game one, he's an immediate candidate for MVP.
Yes, yes.
Off rip. So that's why I kind of put, you know,
absolutely
your top tier, your top 5 player. Like he's off rip. He's an MVP candidate from game one. We're watching to see what Jason Tatum does.
Yeah,
he's at that level.
Because you know what I did? You got the 3 big guys that were going for MVP this year, right?
Yep.
You throw KD, and then after that, you start getting the guys like Jason Tatum.
Like Tatum, Luka.
Oh, yeah, Luka. And then you start getting the guys like Jason Tatum.
Booker.
Like that wave.
You know.
Yeah. And like I said, I think he's better than Booker. Like, if I started a team today, you say Book or him, I'm taking him. So
Tatum or Booker?
I'm taking Tatum. And he actually has more experience up until – like, before those guys went to the finals, Jason Tatum had a lot of experience in the playoffs, like deep in the playoffs, so –
went game 7 Eastern Conference Finals his rookie year. You're talking about last year, Booker, that was his first ever playoff experience. He just happened to go to the finals.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's also why I thought Boston would do good, because while they kept saying, oh, the Warriors and their experience, there's only like 3 guys who really got experience on it. No, 4. Like 4 or 5 guys. Looney, the main 3, and like maybe another guy. And the rest of the guys are just young guys. Whereas Boston, they might not have finals experience, but they have a lot of deep in the playoff experience and game 7 experience as well. So,
yep. You
know, and we're seeing that, kind of seeing that.
Yeah, it's they're not scared of the moment. I'm not saying the Warriors are, but I mean, I feel like especially, you know, it's those moments where we're talking about third quarter Warriors. And I think last game 3 was perfect example of that. You know, third quarter Warriors come out, they erase a what 18-point deficit and take the lead, and they did not, the Celtics did not flinch. They came right back out and then won by 16. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a couple other factors at play, but you know, it's just, you know, again, that experience coming through from the players, like the players were built for the moment. You know, Horford stepped up, Marcus Smart stepped up, Jaylen Brown really stepped up. And then even Jason Tatum himself, Jason Tatum did not have that great of a game. And he played his best, ball of that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I like that one game he struggled scoring that. He had a lot of assists. He was doing other stuff because there's a lot of guys out there that are so-called superstars, like Donovan Mitchell, that if they don't score or shoot good, they're useless to the team on that night if they can't. And so
– you talking about game one?
I think it was game one where he didn't shoot very well, but he was still doing other shit. You know what I'm saying?
He had 13 assists, and I mean, they won that game.
So
that's a Kobe trait, by the way.
Remember that?
He's talked about that specifically. That is a Kobe. That's something he learned from Kobe. You know, affect the game. You know, other ways, because Kobe used to do bullshit. Like, what was that game that Kobe was like?
Phoenix, where he got like 14 assists and they lost, but he wouldn't shoot.
Yeah, he wouldn't shoot. Just to prove the point. Just to prove a point that he could pass the ball. And it was like, oh, y'all want other people to shoot? Bet.
This is what happens. They had some bums. But, shout out to them, though. It's looking like, you know, if I had to bet, I would say Boston's going to win this series probably in six. But I'm going to stick to my thing. Warriors in seven, which would mean they have to win the next two games. I expect Boston to win that game six and then close it out. But
I mean, my Warriors in five is – me and Reggie's Warriors in five is kind of blown. Going to go Warriors in six still, just because I think the Warriors have the more consistent offense. Supposed to, because you're not getting these games, these 20-point games that they're getting from Marcus Smart. Like, I think Marcus Smart isn't a good player or whatever, but the offensive support that he's given them in game one and game three is such an anomaly. Like Draymond said, it's not supposed to happen again. The fact that it did actually really concerns me, because I thought at the very least, Steph isn't a bad defender. You know what I'm saying? And it's mostly on Jordan Poole, because like we didn't really talk about it, but you said it. Jordan Poole has been like atrocious on the defensive end. Klay Thompson is, you talked about him, he's cooked defensively. Marcus Smart is getting these screen switches, and he's getting put on these people, you know, and they're sagging off of him, and they're closing out on him, and he's just getting to the rim. You know what I'm saying? Like, let him shoot. You know, let Marcus Smart shoot it. Now, he might make 4 threes like he did game one. You got to live with that. But letting him get to the rack, letting him get fouls, letting him dish to other people and get assists, getting the ball to Tatum and Brown, like, you actually making Marcus Smart be a legitimate point guard?
Yeah. Because, see, you know what? I heard someone else had this take, and I kind of think this, like, moving forward, though. And I know a lot of people who like Boston probably think it's bullshit, but I think they need a real point guard, like, moving forward if they want to keep, like, contending. I think Marcus Smart is dope on defense and shit, even though I think he's a big flopper and not that good of a defensive player as they make him out to be. I think that they would benefit from structure on the offensive end, having a real point guard. Like a Chris Paul type, I know this, you're not going to get Chris Paul. Like, and people like him aren't a dime a dozen, but someone, a floor general, basically. You know what I'm saying? They don't even need to be a scorer like that, because he's not a scorer.
Rondo back.
Somebody like him, but that at least you'd have the guard, you know? You know? That you would at least have the guard. Like, if Mike Conley didn't have that big-ass contract, like, he'd be somebody. I think that they would benefit from someone like that in the long run than Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But, yeah, that's basically all I got.
Yes, sir.
For this, I got to bounce also. Right. But appreciate you. Appreciate Reggie for coming on. He was able to stay most of the time. He had to dip a little early. But
yep.
Pick Up Podcast, episode 97. We are out.
Cute.